The Lebanese army says its troops shot and wounded a Syrian national who'd opened fire on the U.S. embassy north of Beirut. The embassy says its facility and staff are safe.
The search is on for three suspected accomplices. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call has filed felony charges against two attorneys and an aide of former President Donald Trump. Kenneth Chesbro, Jim Troupas, and Mike Roman are facing charges of forgery for submitting paperwork falsely claiming Trump had won Wisconsin in the 2020 election. Call says the investigation is ongoing.
We're going to follow the facts wherever they lead. The investigation is not focused on any particular person, but on those facts and what information we can gather.
Each felony charge is punishable by up to 6 years in prison and fines up to $10,000. Chesbro, Troupas, and Roman are due in court on September 19th. A woman from Madison won the Ironman European Championship on Monday in Germany. It was 39-year-old Jackie Herring's first Ironman in 9 years. Herring is expected to race in the Ironman World Championship in September. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
Green Bay Packers offseason work continues ahead of the 2024 season. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with sports. Quarterback Jordan Love says that the team is in a great spot right now as they continue their offseason workouts.
Just having everybody here right now at this time is very cool because you just build those relationships and get closer with guys and get to go out there and work and compete with them every day. So I think this team's in an awesome spot right now.
Head coach Matt LaFleur said in his press conference yesterday that there was a great energy about the team both in meetings and on the field. The Milwaukee Brewers fell in 10 innings last night to the Philadelphia Phillies, 2-1. Manager Pat Murphy says the pitching staff turned in a good game.
To shut them out for that many innings, you know, and with those guys, it's pretty special. And then, Guerrero made one tough pitch and one bad pitch and good piece of hitting at the end by Castellanos. So really good major league hitter.
The Brewers and Phillies wrap up their three-game series this afternoon as Milwaukee tries to avoid the sweep. For Civic Media Sports, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
Horses, what you desire, don't play with matches, don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com, and remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
A few lingering clouds this morning, then mostly sunny this afternoon with a slight chance of an isolated shower or thunder shower by late afternoon or early evening. Our high 76, the wind west at 10 to 20 today. Tonight 58, tomorrow partly cloudy, breezy, high of 73. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it's 69.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its pre-diabetes awareness partners.
The summer for a lot of kids in Wisconsin. And while that sounds like wonderful news, and I'm sure it is for them, if you're a kid that depends on the school lunch system for some of your meals during the course of a week, well, then we've got a problem. And food pantries across the state are dealing with that as we roll our way into the summer. I'm Pam Yonke. So glad you're along with us on a Wednesday. This is the Midwest Farm Report. That's one of the stories we've got on the way, just exactly how frugal our food pantries are across Wisconsin, and how farmers are trying to partner with them to make sure that kids don't have to worry about their next meal during their summer break. Stephanie Hoff got a chance to visit with some of our food pantry coordinators and find out about the skyrocketing demand that hits them at this time of the year and how they're trying to be resourcefully creating new opportunities for people to not only give, but people to receive. Stand by for that. Well, we're standing by for dry weather. Quite honestly, I really appreciate all your rainfall reports from yesterday, that ban right from Baraboo to Portage over to Cambria. Yesterday, I had people giving me rainfall reports between 4 and 5 inches total out of that one weather event. It's going to take a long time to dry out after that much rain. Unfortunately, that's not in the cards today. We are going to see more showers that could happen before the morning commute today. Then we'll be dry for most of our midday Wednesday before showers redevelop overnight. Now, the good news is, according to the forecast I'm looking at, everybody should start a drier stretch of weather beginning tomorrow. More weather details on the way. Grilling will never be dull as long as you partner with Bavaria Sausage. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here for the crew at the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchroner Road in Fitchburg. I want to remind you again about their expanded store hours. Monday through Friday, 9 until 7. Saturday, 9 until 1. Boy, they are ready for you. And the creativity that Bavaria Sausage is bringing to your grill this summer, amazing. And why not think about their Landjagers for that hiking trip or when you're taking the kids to the zoo, something like that. Bavaria's created a brand new Kranjager. It brings Wisconsin's heritage fruit, the cranberry, together with that German traditional flavor of Landjager. Take a look online, BavariaSausage.com, Bavaria Sausage on Facebook. They're introducing new tastes, new flavors, new options all the time. And don't forget about it, their expanded store hours, Monday through Friday, 9 until 7, Saturday, 9 until 1. Bavaria Sausage in Fitchburg.
The 95th Wisconsin State FFA Convention is scheduled for June 10th through the 13th. I'm Jill Welke from the northern end of the world's longest barn here in Eau Claire. And I had the opportunity to chat with Wisconsin State FFA President Mary Schreiber from East Troy. And the first thing we chatted about was the theme for the Wisconsin FFA for the year and how they're implementing it into the state convention.
2023-2024, the Wisconsin FFA theme is Ignite. So Igniting is all about firing up our passions for agriculture and servant leadership. And at the 95th Wisconsin FFA convention, we're going to be doing just that between the day of service, general sessions, workshops, celebration meals, and just about everything in between. It's going to be a week to remember.
And that day of service, do they go to more than one place, or what is a little bit of the game plan?
We are definitely igniting the day of service this year. We've increased to about 10 different service sites across the Madison area, and we're also increasing our Sleep and Heavenly Peace project this year to build about 70 beds for people in the Madison area who might not have a comfy bed to sleep on, especially those students. Special shout out to the Osseo Fairchild FFA advisor, Miss Amelia Hayden, for really helping us increase those efforts this year to help our students live to serve.
The state convention takes a lot of coordination.
What are you in charge of? Or are you in charge of the whole thing?
My team and I are ready to kick off 6 different general sessions that we'll be hosting, where students will be receiving awards, will be listening to speeches, and celebrating all the successes of Wisconsin FFA this year. I'm especially excited to deliver my retiring address during that 6th general session on Thursday afternoon, so make sure to tune in for that. I got some cool messages to share. This has been the journey of a lifetime the past 2 years. I can't say enough about how incredible it's been. I think the end's going to be pretty bittersweet, but I am looking forward to relaxing a little bit. It's definitely been a challenging and exciting past 2 years. And then in the fall, I'm ready to go back to school to University of Wisconsin River Falls to study agriculture education with a minor in ag policy development. So we'll see where that takes me. Exciting stuff in my future.
What's something that you feel like you've really grown from being a state officer?
I'd say the biggest piece of growth has probably come from my gratitude has grown, and gratitude might not be something that you maybe think of as something you can grow, but this year I've been blessed, truly honored, to meet students from all across the state, thousands of students, and these are some of the most diligent, talented, and well-spoken students you're going to meet in agriculture education or otherwise, and that has grown my heart by immeasurable amounts. I'm going to get emotional talking about it, but the teachers, the alumni and supporters, the stakeholders, people like you, Jill, I really can't say enough about what a wonderful experience this has been. My heart is so full.
The 2023-2024 State FFA President, Mary Schreiber, originally from East Troy, but you know, I think she really is just from the state of Wisconsin. And next up, I've got the State FFA Sentinel, Brooke Wittrock from Bloomer, and she's in charge of the Courtesy Corps at the State Convention. How does that all come about, and how did you get the job?
The last line of the FFA motto is living to serve, and the Courtesy Corps is yet another way at State Convention for members to get involved with the service end of things. With a convention so massive and thousands of people in attendance, there's little things throughout that just need to be done, and there are members from all around the state that want to step up to do those tasks, whether it's working in the session hall, helping set up the expo, or even just helping at meals. Or making sure everyone's official dress is looking sharp. Members want to step up and help with that at convention.
And you're organizing it. What does it take to organize that? Certain people got to go here, here, and here, or do you just kind of throw it in a hat and they kind of pick where their specialty is?
It's an interesting process, actually, and lots of spreadsheets are involved, but advisors sign up their students for when they're available. So they pick a time slot, they say, I have 9 members who are willing to help out. They get offered if they have a preference of where they'd like to help, and then I toss it all in a spreadsheet and then make sure everything's lined up and there's no scheduling conflicts.
And are you able to fill all those spots?
I am crossing my fingers. You actually caught me when I'm right in the middle of putting together the schedule, but we had so many chapters and so many students that were just eager to help this year that I am confident that we will be able to fill all our spots.
And this Courtesy Corps, does that take a little bit of training on the side of the members that are doing it? I mean, you don't just hand them a button and tell them, here you go, do you?
There's a meeting for all Courtesy Corps members on Tuesday at the very beginning of convention that just says, hey, you're representing Wisconsin FFA as a whole when you're wearing. They wear these yellow badges, so you know they're Courtesy Corps. And when we're in those roles, we just want to make sure we're not on our phones and we're engaging with people in a positive way that says Wisconsin FFA is here to serve you.
Anything else you'd like to highlight for this 95th State FFA Convention?
There's a lot going on that will ignite Wisconsin FFA, just like our theme says. We have lots of new ideas this year, such as a showcase stage student spotlight stage. And there's also a day of service and some new decorations ideas highlighting 90 years of the Blue Corduroy, as well as I'm excited for all of the sessions, and I will be chairing session 1 with State President Mary Schreiber this year.
And she told me already that you guys were going to be quite entertaining. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. Now, after this year of service, what comes next?
I personally will be going off to college. I'm in the Ag Engineering program at UW River Falls with an emphasis in natural resources and environmental systems. So just continuing to help the ag industry, and I would also like to continue to help students in different alumni and supporters roles.
It takes many hands to run a smooth convention. And that was Wisconsin's State FFA Sentinel for 2023-2024, Brooke Whitrock from Bloomer. I'm Jill Welke from the northern end of the world's longest barn here in Eau Claire.
Can't get enough farm news? The stories you hear and more 24/7 at MidwestFarmReport.com. Stay tuned as we'll be right back.
Here's to experiencing it all this summer in Wisconsin. Every deliciously cheesy, rockin', magical, fireworks-filled, festival-loving moment. There's Cheese Curd Fest in Ellsworth, Strawberry Fest in Cedarburg, Festival of the Arts in Stevens Point, and the Renaissance Fair in Bristol. Honor the Earth Powwow in Hayward, Mile of Music in Appleton, Venetian Fest, Bratfest, Summerfest. So many fests for your whole crew. Find them all at TravelWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Travel Wisconsin.
It's fair time across Wisconsin, and with more than 70 county fairs, 3 district fairs, and the state fair, there's something for everyone to enjoy, including classic carnival games like Skee Ball, made in Wisconsin. You just roll that ball up a ramp and use enough strength to hop the ball into one of the bullseye rings, then add up your points. So what is the actual object of Skee Ball? To show off your bowling-like skills to your friends, to work on your attention span, or to win a prize like a stuffed animal? The answer coming up. Skee Ball is close to 110 years old. It's made in Pulaski, Wisconsin by Baytech Games. The company itself originally started in a basement. Now, do you know the object of the Skee Ball game? It really is to add up your points and win a prize like a stuffed animal. One fun slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The galaxy is safe once again.
In the pretend universe, kids play with pretend guns. In the real world, it's up to us to make sure they don't get their hands on a real gun. If you have a gun in the house, keep it locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn how to make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. That's nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by N Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
Farm. That's 877-301-3276. You know, I appreciate the conversation with you. We'll have a conversation about the weather that is ahead for today and into the weekend. The good news, if we can just tie a knot and hang on today, then maybe Thursday and Friday hold a good possibility of at least some dry weather. Details on that forecast coming your way. You know, we mentioned earlier that summertime is a challenging time for Wisconsin food pantries. Kids are out of school, and many families suddenly need to turn to local food pantries for at least a little assistance to make sure that everybody's getting fed. Stephanie Hoff followed through to find out how farmers are trying to partner with food pantries all across the state to make sure everyone's got a meal.
Feeding Wisconsin is a network of food banks that provides emergency food to more than 1,000 food pantries and programs in all 72 counties. The organization is heading to Washington, D.C. this week to tell lawmakers how they're making a difference in the community. Jackie Anderson is among the group. Jackie is the new executive director at Feeding Wisconsin. She says monetary support can really go a long way in tackling hunger.
Yeah, so a dollar can go pretty far, but of course every dollar makes a difference. Just to give a little perspective, right now there's about over 600,000 Wisconsinites, including more than 200,000 children who are food insecure. So if you look at the context of that, these rates coupled with the fact that the cost per meal has actually increased by more than a dollar in recent years. So this results then in Wisconsin families having a shortage of $450 million that they're going to have to make up on their own, and an annual meal gap of more than 116 million meals. So you can see that if we don't help support, you know, our food structure that we have right now, these families are going to be struggling even more than they already are.
You said 600,000 Wisconsinites are facing food insecurity and hunger, and I mean, that could be your neighbor. And is this happening all across the state?
Oh, absolutely, especially in our rural and our urban communities. Absolutely, there is just a shortage, and we know our local food banks are struggling. Right now, we do know that there is 2 to 3 times more request for food support, because if you think about it, inflation is instrumental in really the shortage that we have. Families are not able to make ends meet like they did before.
Are there certain products that this time of year pantries are seeking out specifically?
I think anything is supported. We love to support our local farmers, so any type of seasonal food that we're able to secure, I think it definitely helps to the local farmers as well as our local food banks.
Yeah, because back to your point, you can buy what you need. And so food pantries do have an economic footprint as well.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah, we have an opportunity and, you know, an opportunity on the federal as well as the state level, and making sure that our funding is secure and that we've got the supports needed for families.
You mentioned advocacy throughout our conversation, and that you will be heading to Washington, D.C. to speak to congressional leaders. Jackie, what is your engagement in federal policy?
Yeah, so the food pantry always has the local stories, which are really important when we're talking to legislators. We will be engaged in conversations with policymakers about key provisions in the Farm Bill, and that means both sides, that we're going to be meeting with our congressional leaders about challenges in the landscape of Wisconsin's food insecurity throughout the state. And we know that historically, farm bills have been bipartisan endeavors that prioritize improving the lives of millions of households who struggle to get the nutrition they need. So we urge Congress to return to this core farm bill principle and advance a bold and equitable strategy that eliminates policy barriers for program participants and those potentially eligible for programs. Our goals are to build relationships with legislators and really be able to tell the story of the importance of food banking throughout our state, the importance of food pantries, and how everybody can play a role in ensuring that our Wisconsinites have the most nutritious meals as possible.
Can you speak to the demand from some of your clients for local products?
Yeah, I think it's important that we look at the importance of local food, not even to support our farmers, but also to get the freshest, most nutritious food, which we know is going to be fresh from those who are close to us. So I think it's understanding that that's a piece of the pie that we really need to think about in terms of supporting as many Wisconsinites as possible. You know, anytime we can look at, different strategies, policies that provide incentives to farmers that would help that, we know that that's really important. And again, fresh is always best, as well as, supporting those local farmers.
Jackie Anderson along with us. She's the new executive director of Feeding Wisconsin, taking some time with us before heading to Washington, D.C. to encourage lawmakers to support food pantries and the programs that allow people to access food share. These are big items in the Farm Bill. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Wisconsin soybean growers have lots of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers in the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
They believe in
protecting the families and children in our farming communities. Kids love to be included in the daily farm activities, but accidents can happen quickly. Reduce the chance of injury by making sure your farm is a safe environment for adults and kids. Learn more at ruralmutual.com.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
If you've gone to a baseball game, a soccer match, a football game, chances are you're spending very little time thinking about the playing surface that those athletes are on. But let's face it, it's grass, or at least in many cases, it's grass. Charity Seebecker's got an interesting story talking with one of the groundskeepers on how they keep those fields in play despite the crazy weather Wisconsin's been having lately. Stick around for that. Now, weather-wise, if we can just hang on today, we start a drying pattern with our weather beginning tomorrow. But we do have showers in the forecast this morning, a break through the midday, showers again overnight, and then Thursday, looks like we are going to stay dry. Winds are going to pick up, which might help us dry out a little bit. Tomorrow.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today I'm talking about two ways to save at the grocery store. Tip number one, don't shop when you're hungry. A USC study recently found that hungry shoppers spent 60% more and bought more non-food items than less hungry customers. So if you're about to shop when you're snacky, don't. Pull over, get a quick bite to eat, and work on tip number two. Make a grocery list and stick to it when you're shopping. I know, so basic, but studies have really shown that making lists save money by cutting down or even cutting out impulse purchases. In my family, we keep our grocery list right on the fridge, and that way we all know what we're shopping for when we head to the store. That was today's Work Money Minute. For more tips on saving more and spending less, text MONEY, M-O-N-E-Y, to 88285. Till next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying take good care.
1, 2, 3.
What you doing?
4, 5, 6. Counting the first place awards from the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association.
WISS in Oshkosh for the best promo. WAUK in Waukesha, best Maggie Dawn Show web story. WMDX in Madison, best web story about the Max Inc. radio show. And WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids for best show, interview, and promo.
Informed, entertained, connected.
And winning.
Your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
My mom has taken up going to the park to practice yoga.
My dad's going to a club, but not a book club, a salsa club.
Finding new hobbies comes with age.
My mom has started getting lost and not knowing where she's going.
Becoming lost or disoriented doesn't. Confusion with time or place may be a sign of Alzheimer's. An early diagnosis can help improve the quality of life for your loved one. Learn the warning signs of Alzheimer's at 10signs.org. Brought to you by the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
CBS News Brief. President Biden's new border restrictions went into effect overnight, and Republicans like Texas Governor Greg Abbott are pushing back.
What must be done actually is to enforce the laws that are already on the books by the United States of America. Biden says he needs more laws. He's flat out wrong about that.
Polls show immigration is a top issue for voters. The president landed in Paris this morning ahead of observances to mark 80 years since D-Day. CBS's Linda Kenyon.
Following the trip to Normandy, President Biden will head to Paris for an official state visit with French President Emmanuel Macron.
An attempted attack on a U.S. embassy overseas. Correspondent Vicky Barker is at the foreign desk.
The Lebanese army says its troops shot and wounded a Syrian national who'd opened fire on the U.S. embassy north of Beirut. The embassy says its facility and staff are safe.
The search is on for three suspected accomplices. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
CBS.
Civic Media News. I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call has filed felony charges against two attorneys and an aide of former President Donald Trump. Kenneth Chesbro, Jim Troupas, and Mike Roman are facing charges of forgery for submitting paperwork falsely claiming Trump had won Wisconsin in the 2020 election. Call says the investigation is ongoing.
We're going to follow the facts wherever they lead. The investigation is not focused on any particular person, but on those facts and what information we can gather.
Each felony charge is punishable by up to 6 years in prison and fines up to $10,000. Chesbro, Troupas, and Roman are due in court on September 19th. A woman from Madison won the Ironman European Championship on Monday in Germany. It was 39-year-old Jackie Herring's first Ironman in 9 years. Herring is expected to race in the Ironman World Championship in September. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
The Green Bay Packers offseason work continues ahead of the 2024 season. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with sports. Quarterback Jordan Love says that the team is in a great spot right now as they continue their offseason workouts.
Just having everybody here right now at this time is very cool because you just build those relationships and get closer with guys and get to go out there and work and compete with them every day. So I think this team's in an awesome spot right now.
Head coach Matt LaFleur said in his press conference yesterday that there was a great energy about the team both in meetings and on the field. The Milwaukee Brewers fell in 10 innings last night to the Philadelphia Phillies 2-1. Manager Pat Murphy says the pitching staff turned in a good game.
To shut them out for that many innings, you know, and with those guys, it's pretty special. And then, Guerrero made one tough pitch and one bad pitch and good piece of hitting at the end by Castellanos. So. Really good major league hitter.
The Brewers and Phillies wrap up their three-game series this afternoon as Milwaukee tries to avoid the sweep. For Civic Media Sports, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
More news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
A few lingering clouds this morning, then mostly sunny this afternoon with a slight chance of an isolated shower or thundershower by late afternoon or early evening. Our high 76, the wind west at 10 to 20 today. Tonight 58, tomorrow partly cloudy, breezy, high of 73. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it is 66.
Get ready to go all in for cash battles at Pottawatomie. This June, go head-to-head with your fellow club members for a chance at your share of 200 grand in cash. Play with your club card for entries. Hourly drawings on June 6th and 20th from 4 to 8 p.m. Each drawing, two winners split 20 grand. Cash battles at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel, Milwaukee. It's the biggest cash bash of the summer. More info at paysbig.com. Must be 21 and a club member to play.
It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We're hooking you up with Wisconsin Dells prize packs, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, plus the chance to win a summer getaway to Door County, Lake Geneva, or a lake house vacation. Download the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. Find your station and get set to text for your chance to win in this statewide contest. It's your shot to win with Scotty Summer on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It's fair time across Wisconsin, and with more than 70 county fairs, three district fairs, and the state fair, there's something for everyone to enjoy, including classic carnival games like Skee Ball, made in Wisconsin. You just roll that ball up a ramp and use enough strength to hop the ball into one of the bullseye rings, then add up your points. So what is the actual object of Skee Ball? To show off your bowling-like skills to your friends, to work on your attention span, or to win a prize like a stuffed animal? The answer coming up. Skee Ball is close to 110 years old. It's made in Pulaski, Wisconsin by Baytech Games. The company itself originally started in a basement. Now, do you know the object of the Skee Ball game? It really is to add up your points and win a prize like a stuffed animal. One fun slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
And here's Heather with the weather.
Well, it's beautiful out there, sunny and 75, almost a little chilly in the shade. Now, let's get a read on the inside of your car. It is hot.
You've only been parked a short time and it's already 99 degrees in there. Let's not leave children in the back seat while running errands. It only takes a few minutes for their body temperatures to rise, and that could be fatal.
Cars get hot fast and can be deadly. Never leave a child in a car. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Start with Pam Yonke.
You know, farmers aren't the only ones that are frustrated by all this wet weather keeping them from getting their job done. How about you folks that are working for the city parks, for example? Or maybe you're connected with a golf course. Think about all the playing surfaces for baseball, soccer, in some cases, football, any of those sports. You're thinking about the weather all the time, just like farmers. Charity Seebecker's got a really interesting story coming up on how the greenskeepers at baseball fields have to approach their work when the weather gets as wet as it's been around Wisconsin. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. Weather-wise, hopefully we're going to start drying out as soon as tomorrow. Now, today we still have a chance of showers this morning. Should be dry through the lunch hour, and then a chance of showers, unfortunately, redeveloping overnight. Then we kind of turn the corner. Tomorrow, we should see mostly sunny skies. It's going to be a little breezy. Winds could gust up to 30 miles an hour. Daytime highs tomorrow, probably right around 77 degrees. Then on Friday, we're also looking for sunshine. Dry conditions. Daytime highs on Friday around 71. Saturday, sunny skies, highs around 70 degrees. But then we start to build in a little bit more rain, possibly as soon as Saturday evening. Don't forget, Stu Muckrag, meteorologist, back along with us next week. All right, so today is the fifth day of June. What can I tell you? On this day in 1861, a gentleman named Ransom Moore was born in Kewaunee, Wisconsin. Turned into a teacher, experimented with a lot of different grains, corn and barley in Wisconsin, introduced some new products in the state, and ultimately became the founder of the UW Agronomy School on the UW-Madison campus. Taught a lot of farmers in Wisconsin how to sell their crops and their seeds all across the United States. He was also active in founding the 4-H Club. Ransom Moore, founder of the UW Agronomy Building on the UW-Madison campus, born on this day in 1861. On this day in 1956, Elvis Presley performs Hound Dog live on TV. Drove women wild. Made a lot of folks concerned about what that move was all about. Elvis Presley performing Hound Dog on TV on this day back in 1956. Couple happy birthdays this morning. Financial whiz Susie Orman is 73 today. And Mark Wahlberg looking just as good as ever as he celebrates his 53rd birthday. And now you know. It's a Wednesday. That means it's time for us to catch up with our friends from the Steffes Group. Say it with me, steffesgroup.com. Or you can also call them if you want to talk to them one-on-one, 800-726-8609. That's 800-726-8609. As usual, our friend Ashley Hoon from the Steffes Group along with us after another busy week. I was kind of watching some of the online activity because of that dairy sale that took place this week, Ashley. Lots of interest in those animals. And the interest on anything really these days seems to be kind of picking up momentum again. I guess everybody's kicked out of the fields, can't keep planting. Might as well take a look at what's going on with the Steffes Group.
Well, that's right. I mean, we're having just an unprecedented June as far as auction activity goes. I know there's 141 auctions on our website, but probably 75 of those are just in June alone. So it's extremely busy. We last week we talked about all those John Deere auctions. Two of them are in the books already as far as price history. We've still got four to go. So take a look at that. I mean, the opportunity to buy some late model equipment doesn't come that often.
Boy, and like you said, the interest remains fairly strong, despite the fact that a lot of farmers, including yourself, are a little frustrated with this weather.
Well, truly. I mean, if you look across our trade area, there's still a lot of planting to go, and guys are kind of disappointed that they're not in the field and not getting finished, and now we're into June. So this is where the grumbling starts, but... don't worry, we can still sell you tractors.
Well, and like you said, it also does increase the screen time that a lot of growers have available now to take a look at what's out there. Now, you mentioned about how some of those John Deere sales are concluded, and we'll have more coming up. All of that archived material is also online if farmers are still kind of kicking tires wondering what prices are doing.
Yeah, truly. I mean, we want to see farmers doing their own trading using our platform. So if you use our website or our price app, you can see what your stuff is worth and price it against what's going on, and you pretty much got your own trade value.
And then you also are going to be kicking out the buyer's guide here pretty quick. Tell them a little bit again about how comprehensive that is and why they might want to download that pretty quick.
Yeah, truly. So our catalog that's coming out is going to have about 80 to 100 auctions in it. That's our spring run. That'll have auctions that we had booked about 3 weeks ago all the way through the end of the year. So you can do some planning there. I know there's some big farmland real estate auctions that we booked that are going to be in that catalog. So take a look at that.
Excellent. Now, what's your gut telling you, Ashley, about this fall? Everybody always kind of wants to wait until I'm out of the fields. But you always are asking people to think ahead if they are planning any kind of auction, be it just a few pieces or an entire dispersal.
Yeah, truly. You know, on the real estate side, we're through our spring run, so we're booking sales mostly for the end of August, September, pre-harvest. And then, of course, you know, there's usually a tiny little bump in the market after harvest. But guess what's in November? An election. So if you want to stay clear of that, September's your month.
Beautiful. Great advice from Ashley Hewen. He's along with us from the Steffes Group. I always want to remind you, now is a good time to check out all the information they make available to you on their website. That's steffesgroup.com, S-T-E-F-F-E-S group.com, or give them a call, 800-726-8609. They'll take care of you right. Ashley Hewen along with us from the Steffes Group.
Dairy Girl Network invites all dairy women to join them at their biannual conference in Kansas City. The Forward Together Conference is November 5th through the 7th and features 25 speakers with breakout sessions and time to connect with fellow farm women. The conference also has a trade show, shopping, and photo headshots. For full details and to register, visit DairyGirlNetwork.com. The early registration deadline is June 19th.
Got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2024 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. And remember, if you don't enter, you can't win. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
So an overnight electronic trade on a Wednesday morning right now, our December corn's unchanged at 461. November soybeans currently 3 cents stronger at 1158. The July new crop wheat, that's up three as well, 661 a bushel. Dow Jones Industrial Average right now also about 40 points stronger. No change yesterday on barrel or block cheese, but the double A butter gained 4.25 cents. That's up to 3.16 and a quarter per pound in Chicago, not in the grocery store. In Chicago. So think about that the next time you're visiting the grocery store. 3.16 and a quarter in Chicago. The July Class 3 milk that goes into cheese, that's down 7 right now, 20, 80, 100 weight. Coming up next, you know, a lot of us enjoy golfing, maybe a little softball, maybe it's soccer. You never stop and think about the playing surface that you're running across or playing on, do you? But there's actually a lot of science behind that service. Charity Seebecker is going to step in next. She had a chat with a gentleman that's in charge of the playing field for the Madison Mallards, and it's going through some changes. That story just around the corner. Thanks for joining us.
Can't get enough farm news? The stories you hear and more 24/7 at MidwestFarmReport.com. Stay tuned as we'll be right back.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Is the U.S. Supreme Court aiming to take yet another chop at the 1965 Voting Rights Act? An Arkansas redistricting case has been sent back to a lower court after last week's new rules making it harder to prove racial gerrymandering. In another case, the federal Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled in November 2023 that individual voters could not bring a private right of action for voting rights cases. Instead, such cases could only be brought by the U.S. Justice Department. A request to rehear the case was denied in January. Now, the U.S. Supreme Court has ordered the redistricting case to be reheard by a three-judge district court panel to apply new standards handed down in Alexander versus South Carolina NAACP. Under the new SCOTUS rules, the plaintiffs will have to prove that the splitting of the second congressional district was done for racial, not political reasons, and provide an alternate map which provides an acceptable balance. In addition, the Arkansas voters will need to argue they indeed have a private right of action to bring the case. Suspicious minds may argue that the U.S. Supreme Court's conservative majority is playing chess, expecting to see the case on appeal where the right of private action can be stripped from precedent and Voting Rights Act protections. Find more on the case and the groups taking action at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal. Share our reports on Facebook at American Democracy Minute.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
The golfing greens right on through to that soccer field, the baseball field. Somebody's out there paying attention to what Mother Nature is doing as far as weather and how it's going to impact the field of play. Charity Seebecker joins us now with an update on some changes a baseball field in Madison has been going through despite the rain. Charity?
This is the first year in history that games will be played on artificial turf and not natural grass at the Duck Pond for the Madison Mallards. And the reasoning behind it? Well, some of it has to do with making it easier to transition the field now that they're adding the Madison Nightmare Softball League. So what does it take to care for these fields now? I'm Charity Seebecker from the Midwest Farm Report, and Will Keeney, Director of Operations for the Madison Mallards, explains what his duties look like now with this change. But first, he takes me through how he got into this role in the first place.
So I'm from Central Iowa, and I actually worked for the city back home. I prepped baseball and softball fields, and it was a complex of 8 different fields. And during tournament days, it was just turn and burn. Get as many done as quickly as you can. I went to school at University of Iowa. First 2 years, just kind of did my thing. My junior and senior year, I was actually a manager for the baseball team there. And we had turf there. It's pretty hard to play baseball in February and March on grass. So I learned how to maintain turf. Previously, I worked with dirt and grass. But at Iowa, I picked up the turf. It's not totally different. It's not as much work as grass and dirt, but it's definitely got its challenges.
And so then what brought you to Wisconsin to be here with the Mallards?
So I actually took an internship here the summer of my junior year at Iowa. My boss at Iowa knew my boss here. And I didn't know it. Just submitted my application the next day. My boss at Iowa was like, hey, did you apply somewhere in Wisconsin? And I was like, yeah, I did, actually. So that's how I ended up here. I came back last year seasonally and then got offered full-time midway through last season.
So this is the first year in history that games are played on artificial turf and not that natural grass. Take me through why that decision was made. Why is this?
I think the most obvious answer is with the Nightmares, our softball team that we're starting. But it also kind of gives us the opportunity to move the bases in and out depending on what we have going on. I mean, we could do 12, 13, 14-year-old baseball tournaments and, you know, put the bases at 60, 70, 80, 90 feet, whatever we need to. We also have a portable youth mound, so it's a little bit smaller, doesn't take up as much room. Obviously, closer infield, you don't want the mound being huge. And then a portable outfield fence, so that's kind of a big thing that we're still working through. It works. It's got a few quirks, but looking forward to that and seeing how it goes.
So what is your maybe daily, weekly, or even just monthly maintenance routine during the season? I'm sure it's a little different now since you do have the turf versus the grass in the past years.
Now it's pretty minimal. I try and drag the warning track with our nail drag on our three-wheeler every couple of days. If it's game day, I'll do it every game day. But last year with grass, we were constant water, the dirt in the infield. This year, obviously, we don't have to. So it's pretty minimal. Grass still gets mowed 3 times a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. It's a little bit funky with softball going on. If we have the softball fence in the outfield, obviously we can't mow. So, like I said, still some quirks. We're working through it, but that's the schedule right now.
And when it is game day, how do you prepare the field then for that type of day? How early do you have to come here? Take me through what that day is like for you.
In terms of field prep on game day, it's pretty minimal from me. Donnie Scott, our manager for the team, likes to have the players do it, actually. So every game, the players will do the lines. We have turf, but we go from turf to grass to dirt. So they have to paint with like a spray can. And then as soon as they hit the dirt, they switch to a chalker, like a traditional just chalker. But other than that, there's not a whole lot.
With the amount of rain that we have been getting, how has that impacted the field and just things you guys have to be dealing with?
The area where we're at now is already kind of swampy. So late June, early July, when it's hot and I have to water all the time, then I really struggle with keeping that balance of too much water and not enough water. Obviously, in the morning, if I get too much, it's just going to be like sloppy all day. It's been tough.
What are some of the other big challenges then that you face during the season in terms of field management?
Just our warning track. Just because it is an old field and there's so many games played over the summer, the warning track really takes a hit. It gets lumpy. We have equipment on the field all the time to fix whatever video boards or lights or all sorts of crazy things we have going on. So really maintaining the warning track is the most difficult part. And the double drum, like steamroller, comes in handy. We don't own one, but we rent one probably once a month just to kind of keep things flat the best we can.
So with the rain then, how do you handle drainage issues?
There was new drainage put in the outfield, and it's been really helpful. Like I mentioned earlier, the warning track is just a different breed. It gets really tough. It puddles a lot. And I hate to say it, but using just quick dry, it turns into concrete basically when we're done, but sometimes that's better. Kind of fills in those holes and ends up making it play better in the long run. Obviously, not ideal in the moment.
What type of equipment do you guys use then to maintain the field throughout the year?
In terms of like physical equipment, just your traditional kind of hand rake and tamp. We use that double drum steamroller, like I mentioned earlier. We have a company that comes out and mows 3 times a week. We do have like a three-wheeler with a drag on the back and kind of the spike nail drag underneath. That's probably the one we use the most. And then your rakes and tamps follow that.
understand, how large is your field maintenance team then? What kind of training do they do to make sure they're helping you keep things in tip-top shape?
Four or five seasonal interns that I actually bring in. They have varying levels of experience. Basically, I take them under my wing kind of the first 2 weeks of the season and show them the ropes. I have one this year who has some experience and then a couple that don't. But they're pretty good. They learn quick, and that's why they're here, is they want to learn that stuff. So four or five people, if it's like the other night in pouring rain all game, you know, even our president and our GM will step in and kind of help, really all hands on deck in a situation like that. I think the biggest thing is just the ability to play multiple sports for multiple ages. Being able to flip from, you know, maybe an 11-year-old softball tournament to the next day having the Mallards play, and then the next day you have the Nightmares, and then the next day 14-year-old baseball. Like, that's different size dimensions and different base paths and everything every day. So the ability to do that with the half turf, half grass is going to be huge for not only us and what we do here at Warner Park, but also the community and everybody around us.
That was Will Keeney, Director of Operations for the Madison Mallards. The Mallards kicked off their season a few days ago, while the Madison Nightmares will have their home opener on June 16th. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Profiling the Ag School Dean at the University of Georgia. A three-part series starts today on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops, and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for RHIZOL from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
Nick Place became the dean and director of the University of Georgia College of Agriculture and Environmental Sciences 3 years ago, and his path began when he was a farm kid in Pennsylvania. After college, he came back to the family farm, only to learn that it couldn't support two families. That led to jobs in extension and later in higher ed.
Our college is probably one of the top three plant breeding programs in the country. And when you think about how we're going to produce more food on less land with more issues such as water and pests and diseases, we have to make sure that we are advancing a plant breeding program that is truly going to help us make some advancements in that area.
Place is understandably proud of the UGA program. He says it's the first college to offer an undergraduate degree in regenerative biosciences.
The other thing that's really exciting about our college is regenerative biosciences, and that is incredible how we're bringing together that nexus of animal sciences and human health to help us deal with things such as traumatic brain injury and stroke and all of those kind of things. Very, very exciting.
Tomorrow, Place talks about ag career opportunities. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. I get questions sometimes from folks about whether or not people should buy silver or gold. You know, the actual physical metal itself. Should people buy it, put it in a safe, or bury it in their backyard or something? And I get it. There's something to the allure of a precious metal. You know, gold is tangible. You can hold it in your hands. It's pretty. Gold used to prop up the value of the U.S. dollar. It's been about 50 years since that was the case. But some people feel like buying gold or silver can be a safeguard for their money in uncertain times. Feelings are one thing, and math is something different. And in this case, the math is very clear. A diversified, low-risk portfolio beats a hidey hole full of gold every time. For more insights on how money works, how you can save more and spend less, head on over to workmoney.org. Until next time, this is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to WRJN and W260 CV Racine, W251 BU Kenosha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. As tensions grow over the war in Gaza, there's been an attack on an American embassy overseas this morning. Correspondent Vicky Barr.